Good morning, everybody. My name's Daniel Pearson, and I'm here talking today about Link and contact center integration. So those of you who don't know me, I've been involved in the industry for quite some time and have been working with Link in its very early phases as speech server and live communication server and now Link. I'm the CIO of ICOM. We're an organization who have been right there at the very forefront of Link technology and on this journey with Microsoft and have been deploying Link for quite a large number of customers to date. And I'm also now the CEO of Pinko, a cloud services company delivering Link as a service and everything that you see today as a Link platform in the cloud. Microsoft VTSP, so I work closely with the Microsoft team in being able to deliver and talk about pre-sales and architecture. So today we're going to go through the contact center scene and talk specifically about integration with Link and contact centers. Whilst you're on TechEd, you can connect with me using this QR code. I'll put this up at the very end of the session, so don't worry about taking it now. Like I said, more than happy to meet up with anybody here and discuss what we go through today in a bit more detail. A couple of things that we really want you guys to take away from this session, and that is to understand what types of integration methods are available with Link 2013. There's quite a number of different ways of bringing contact centers and some of that more advanced call routing technology into the platform. So we'll talk a fair bit about that. And one of the key takeaways that I really want you to have a think about throughout this session is PBX is dying. Link is ready to replace the PBX platform, and we're seeing it done in quite a number of customers. You'll hear today from my colleagues at ZCOM and Aspect, and they'll talk about how they've done this today with the Link platform. So have a think about this for your organisations, whether you're technically minded or from a business side of the fence. Link is a PBX replacement. You've seen sessions at TechEd this week on Enterprise Voice and the advanced functionality there. The contact center really rounds it off and brings it all home in being able to deliver a complete end-to-end solution. So a very quick agenda we're going to run through. We're going to talk about a brief bit of history around where Link's come from, how contact centers have been integrated, where they've started, we'll talk a little bit about that. I'll jump into response groups, and for those of you who don't know about response groups, they're a way of call routing within Link. You can do some basic level of queuing, some basic reporting. We'll talk about all those different bits and pieces. I'll then invite my colleague John from ZCOM up on the stage to give you a rundown of the ZCOM platform, how it integrates with Link. We'll do a couple of demos, and then Mario De Silva from Aspect will close us out with the Aspect solution. So we're going to keep it pretty casual. I know we've got a fairly big room here, so if you do want to move into the middle, feel free to do that. We're going to start off with a little bit of a history lesson. Now, Link's been around for quite some time in different flavours, and instead of going right back to the very beginning, back in 2001, 2002, I've decided to start with 2007. And 2007 was the first platform that we deployed as a PBX replacement for a customer in Tasmania. And they were right at the forefront of this technology. They were on the Microsoft SuperTap, being able to leverage code directly out of Redmond, and they were right at the very forefront of replacing their PBX platform, and they had a lot of issues. It was, you know, all this call technology and being able to do some advanced routing that really, really held them back. In 2007 R2, we saw the first version of response groups. Now, coming from a quite strong telephony background, I looked at response groups and thought, oh yeah, it's just call routing, we've been doing that for years, it's easy. But the Microsoft crew and customers were like, wow, we can now replace our phone system. We've got response groups. So I'll talk a little bit about response groups and let you know sort of where they've come from and where they're potentially going. We then went into Link 2010, which introduced attendant-based routing, allowing you to detect presence of your users and be able to route calls based on their present status. And that was really a good level up in being able to deliver some advanced telephony in the Link platform. We rolled out a customer back in the 2007 R2 days with 28 response groups replacing their existing call management platform. And, you know, it scaled quite well and quite quickly. We're now at Link 2013, and the major features here around that call routing platform are manager role and disaster recovery enhancements. So I'll talk a little bit about that throughout the session and go through what it is that you can do out of the box. Across the migration phase of customers to these platforms, it became very obvious that we needed a contact center solution that would work with Link in being able to integrate. And it was around the 2007 R2 timeframe, towards the end of its era, and right through to now into the 2013 platform, that contact centers have really integrated. There's a large number of contact centers, and we'll go through some examples of ones in a moment. So My session is going to talk briefly about what's in the box, what you can do with response groups, what you can do with some reporting that exists there today. We're then going to delve deeper and run some call scenarios. Make sure you fill your feedback forms in, very important. We're giving away prizes to bribe you for good feedback, so make sure we are getting good feedback. And throughout the session, we're going to ask you to participate in some of the activities, so stay tuned. So in the box, if we talk about response groups as a first point, it allows for multiple call routing methods. So those of you who are familiar with Enterprise Voice, you can set up users with telephony and phone numbers, a PSTN number, and allow them to make phone calls in and out of the platform. Response groups allow you to control that with call routing methods. So it supports longest idle, meaning the person who hasn't taken the call for the most amount of time, serial, ring in this order and always in this order, attendant, meaning ring them regardless of whether they're busy or not, and that's really good for your PAs and reception type routing methods. Parallel, ring everybody at the same time in the group, and round robin, pick somebody randomly within the group to call them on. So when we first started deploying Link for customers, this was used in reception areas, it was used for IT help desks, and slowly, bit by bit, it started to be used throughout the rest of the organisation as replacements for traditional contact centres. It allows for presence-based routing, so if you're busy, away from your desk, in a meeting, it will not route calls to you. If you're green and available, that's when you can then take calls. It's got a basic IVR, being able to press options and menus. You can integrate it with the Exchange Auto Attendant, so being able to press 1 for sales, 2 for support, and again, I'll show you some of that in the demonstration. But it really allows you to develop the platform and use it in a very basic sense. So out of the box, you can do all of that sort of stuff. Call queuing calls within the platform, put them on hold, and music on hold based on your queues. So out of the box, Link does quite a fair few of these routing methods and call scenarios, and it's actually quite amazing what was in the platform back in 2007 R2. Not a lot of these features are new today. Because this is a technical session, I thought I'd go through a call flow scenario and give you an example of a call coming into the Link platform, what the call actually does, and some of the behind the scenes bits and pieces that Link does to make the call come up on your screen. So the first thing we've got is an invite. So the call will come into the platform via a SBC or a gateway, and it will ring into the platform. At this time, the routing engine will determine which front-end server the call needs to be accepted on. Now, you can have multiple front-ends inside of a pool, and in this case, the routing engine will determine where it needs to go. The workflow kicks in, and the workflow determines how this call is going to be answered. Are we going to play something like a welcome message, and that can either be text-to-speech or a WAV file uploaded into the platform, or are we going to give them other options? So the workflow engine establishes and runs on that front-end server that it was chosen. It'll then go through a list of business hours and determine whether the call or the queue itself, the workflow, is open. If it is open, great, it'll continue on. If it's not, it gives them options for rerouting to voicemail, dropping the call, or sending it off to another number. And all these features and functions exist within the response group platform. We then get into our holiday sets. So if you want to upload Melbourne Cup holidays or Labor Day, etc., you can go and put them into the platform and have predefined positions for those calls to be routed to. Once we've done all this, we then move into our interactive or a hunt group mode. And there's two main methods for response groups to be able to answer calls. The interactive mode allows people to choose options, so it might be press 1 for sales, 2 for support. And the hunt group method will just go straight into a queue and try and find the most appropriate agent. Once the user has gone through the menu and they've chosen the area that they're after, it'll then route them into what we call a matchmaking service. And that IVR menu, or that auto attendant menu, allows you to go roughly 16 levels deep, and you can reroute to other response groups to get quite a fair bit of scale. So it routes through to the matchmaking service. And the matchmaking service, when I first saw this in a log, I thought, really? It's called the matchmaking service? But it makes sense. What it does is it'll go out and actually look for users that are in the group or defined within that queue and find the most appropriate person to route the call to. That'll be based on their presence availability, the routing method that you've chosen, whether it was longest idle or parallel. It'll go out and find those users. It'll select the queue that it's going to be routed to. So the matchmaker service will say, that's the queue that we're sending the call to. Everything's okay. There's someone available in that to be able to make to take the call. It'll go to the routing method and say, out of the people that I've found available, I then want to ring on those devices. And a lot of times we'll delve into some of the logs. I always get a question, why do we have so many abandoned calls? And it's because of the routing method that you choose. And I'll give you an example and a look into that in just a moment. So the routing method determines whether it's going to send out a single invite to an end user, whether it's going to send out 100 invites to all the parallel users on that ring group, and it controls that until somebody answers the call. Sends it to all the available users, that's right. We then send an invite out to those agents. Those agents start ringing, and you'll see that in our demonstration. The call then gets answered by the agent, so the first person to click the accept button or the answer call button on their screen. It'll then send a re-invite, and that's to establish the most closest media path for that user. And I just want to pause there for a moment, because all of this workflow up until this point is handled off the front-end servers. The user's media path and the user's interaction with the system have had nothing to do with direct media routing from a gateway. And it's at this point here where the user says, I've grabbed the call. The front-end server then says, okay, great, we're going to send you directly to that media path. If you have direct media routing turned on, it'll connect it directly to the gateway. If you don't, it'll run via a mediation service. So in this scenario, you've got to keep in mind that all of your response group calls are running through a front-end server. You require the front-end server to do all of this. If your front-end servers are unavailable, then you can't do any of this. Things like survivable branch appliances don't contain the response group service. So when you're planning your network out, and we'll talk about some design considerations, you've got to keep in mind where your calls are going to be routed to and what you want to do in the case of DR. The 200OK message gets sent back to the front end saying, great, users got the call, we're on the call, we're happy. And during the call, diagnostic logs are being collected along the entire way. And then once the user hangs up, we send the buy message through to the platform. So all going well, I'm going to give you a demonstration of how to set up response groups and exactly what's in the box. Excellent. So when you first log into your Link server, it looks something like this. This is the control panel that you'll use to configure your environment. This is actually one of our live production environments, so you get to see this firsthand running in one of our cloud platforms. So when we bring up the console, on the left-hand side here, we've got a tab called response groups, and through this we can go and create our response groups and workflows. That will then bring up our response groups configuration tool, and in our tool we can pick whether it's a hunt group or an interactive response group, as we said earlier. I'm going to do a hunt group to keep things nice and simple, and it's a wizard or a web-based workflow that you can go and define this response group in. I might just zoom that in a touch so we can all read it a bit easier. So the first thing it asks us is for a SIP address. Now, whilst phone numbers are important to Link, everything's routed based on a SIP address. So in this case, I'm going to call this teched01@datalist.com.au, which is one of the domains that we've got running in the environment. The display name, we'll call it teched. And the telephone number we'll give, I grabbed a spare number earlier, needs to be in the E164 format, like all numbers do in Link. And we'll just drop that into the telephone number field. The display number can be the same, although some people like to put a 1-800 number in there, masking the number that's being displayed for their main number. We can put a description in, take a demo. And this is one of the first changes within the Link 2013 platform. We can now have unmanaged and managed workflows. Managed workflows will allow a user that we define in this list to make changes to this workflow. In the past, they'd have to call up IT support and have somebody with access do all these changes. So in this case, we'll leave it as unmanaged. The next question that's asking me is, what language do we want to use? Now, out of the box, it supports quite a large number of languages. In our case, we'll just use the US. It's nice and easy. And if you remember back to our call flow diagram, it's then playing a welcome message. And this can either be text-to-speech or it can be an uploaded WAV file. In this case, we'll use text-to-speech. You don't want to hear my voice on the IVR. So thank you. Something nice and simple. So this text-to-speech engine will actually go and record this message and then play it back to users in an American voice. But you can do that in a number of languages. We've got customers around Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, and they choose to have their menus played in their native languages. The next question that we had on our call flow was our business hours. So we're going to pick, in this case, our UTC plus 10. You can have predefined schedules available within the platform. It might be normal business hours, it might be public holidays, etc. But in this case, I'm going to just say that we're open all the time. If you want to be closed on a Sunday and a Saturday, it's as simple as unticking those boxes, and it will close that workflow or that response group down for those times. If we were closed, we can play uses a message. So they're closed, go away. And this will automatically then either disconnect the call, or we can have other options being set. So we can forward it off to a voicemail platform, we can send it off to another user's SIP address, we can send it on to a mobile number. So if you've got people who do an on-call service, and you might want to say, thanks for calling, please hold, we'll get to you soon. The workflow realizes, hang on, it's actually after hours. You can then reroute that call out and say, look, we're closed at the moment, but we're going to send you through to our on-calls engineer. Or you might send them through to another response group, and that response group might say, we're closed at the moment, press 1 to leave a message, or 2 to be routed to somebody who's on call at the time. So you can really choose how you route these calls, and it can be done in any sort of number of layers and methods. There's no limit to the amount of response groups that you reroute calls to. So we're closed, go away, and we're going to drop the call. We can then specify holiday sets. So within this platform, you can go and say this specific workflow adheres to these holidays. You might have Christmas, New Year's Eve, etc. in there, and you can upload those. And again, you can play a different message for those calls. And all of these messages, whilst we're going to use the text-to-speech engine, all of these messages can be played as a WAV file. So as we continue through here, the next question it asks us is, what queue do we want to send this call to? Now, if this was an interactive response group, it would say, at this point, what options do you want to give your users to choose? Is it press 1 for sales, 2 for support? And then once they press sales, do they want 1 for ice creams and 2 for paddle pops? You can then choose those levels of the IVR. In this case, it's a relatively simple auto attendant, so I'm going to send it directly to my tech ed queue. We can configure music on hold, or use a system default, and hit deploy. So the wizard platform that we're building this on allows us to answer a couple of quick questions and then go and give access to this for somebody else to be able to change. So what I'm going to do now is jump into the interface and show you how groups and queues work. So I've defined a group down the very bottom here called Tech Ed Engineers, and I've put myself into this group. Can you read that all right? Not really. There we go. So Tech Ed Engineers, we can give it a description, and it's asking us then for an agent participation policy. And what this is whether the user has to log in to the queue specifically, or whether they're able to just take calls directly out of the queue. Now, an informal agent means they'll be logged into the queue regardless of whether they want to be, and a formal agent will require the user to click a box to say, I'm now available to take calls in that queue. Really good if you've got supervisors within your environment. You can set all your normal agents up on an informal group, and then have the supervisor as formal. So if they do want to go in and take calls to help out in a busy time, they can tick the box and it will log them in automatically. The alerting time, set to 20 seconds at the moment, is how long we give the agents a chance to answer the call. Now, that in parallel with our routing method chooses how long this person's waiting on hold before we decide to do something else. So in this case, I've got my alerting time set to 20 seconds and my routing method is parallel, meaning everybody who's in this group list, just myself at the moment, will ring on all of their extensions at the same time for 20 seconds until somebody answers the call. Once it's gone through this group, it'll then follow on to other groups and continue to follow those routing methods. So in this case, I've got it set to parallel. The other options there are longest idle, round robin, serial, and attendant. We can define a custom group of agents, which is what I've done here, or we can actually pick that from an email distribution list. So if you've got people managing distribution lists already, and a new member gets added, a new employee starts, they can automatically be added to the response group as well. So in this case, I've picked my account, and we're in that work group. The queue is then where the call sits. So when we picked the workflow earlier, you'll notice that I had a call go into the tech ed queue, and that was on the response group page that we had earlier. This tech ed queue is defining who can answer the call. So it's in this screen where we pick the groups of users that we want to define. So you might have the engineers as priority one on a support queue, but if they haven't answered, then we're going to send it to the receptionist. We might send it to other users in the environment. And it will continue through this group list and continue going back to the top, repeating it, following all the routing methods that we picked up within each of the groups until it finds somebody to answer the call. Or until, in this case, we time the call out. So we can say, if somebody's been on the call for longer than 20 seconds, disconnect them. Or we can send them to voicemail, send them to another queue, we can send them to a SIP address, etc. So this might be something like, thanks for calling, we haven't got to you yet, we're busy at the moment, call back later, leave a message, or we might reroute you to another queue. You've been holding on for so long, please hold and we'll route you to a different different area. You can also enable queue overflow. So the queue overflow function allows you to define how many calls can sit within a queue before something happens. So in this case, if we enable queue overflow, as soon as we get 10 calls in the queue, we're going to send the newest caller, meaning the person who's just come into the queue, the 11th caller, and we're going to send them to voicemail saying, look, we're experiencing some high volumes at the moment, please call back later. Or we might send them to another queue altogether. You can also choose to do some other things in here, and that is send the oldest caller. So the person who's been waiting the longest, do something with them, and that might route them to a separate priority queue. So you've got quite a fair bit of functionality and control over response groups in being able to choose the different options and call methods. And this is why a lot of our customers have adapted the Link platform, and one in particular runs a 24/7 contact center with 28 response groups across 3 countries and 100 agents, all on response groups. Now, I'd argue that they're probably hitting the limit of response groups and they need a call center, but they're quite happy with the functionality that they've got and available. And they've built it out in their own way. They can give control to their staff and their users to be able to make all of these changes. So in this case, we'll leave our queue as it is for the moment. And we've got our tech ed queue. Now, for those of you who do want a prize and are awake for the session, after your big night last night, you can dial into this queue, and I'll make this number a bit bigger. The first person to dial into the queue and jump up on my screen will get a headset. Now you're awake. So what's happening here is in that workflow, it's sending the invite, we're routing through all the different methods, determining whether the contact center is available or not, and now calling into that platform. So here we go. It tells me here that the call is for TechEd01 at Daedalus. It's ringing me in a parallel ring group. We'll answer the call. Hello.
Hey, Dad.
Excellent. Very cool. Is that you?
What,
3, 2, it is you, very good. So we've got more calls coming in. And this is because I've set the ring group to parallel and I haven't actually answered this call yet. If I choose to close the call off, we can determine whether the routing engine sends calls to us or not. And here's another call coming through now. So very good. Can you pass it out for us, Joss? Thanks, mate. So it's that easy to be able to go and configure response groups and routing methods. And we'll flip back to this and go through some other bits and pieces. And for our customers who want to be able to set these methods up, it's quite easy to be able to do. So the next question people ask us a lot is, we've got all this automated attendant and advanced routing functionality, but we want to be able to get some reports out of the box. And for those of you who haven't seen some of the Link 2013 reports, they are absolutely fantastic. You get quite a lot of information out of the reports platform. And a lot of the times we'll get calls from customers saying, you know, a customer or one of our staff tried to ring and they got an engaged signal, it didn't work. Can we turn tracing on and have a look at what happened? Well, tracing's on by default. If you turn archiving and monitoring on, all the tracing's being kept within the monitoring server today. So to give you a look at some of these example reports, this is a user 29787, and all we've done is search that user within the reports platform. They've complained earlier on in the day to say that they had a failed call, and Link will highlight that in red for us. Now, we're not really too sure what this failed call was about, so we can click on that, drill down a bit further and see that we've had a response of 1200 on the invite, so they didn't even get connected, it was the initial time they tried to make the call, and the server responded with 1200, sorry, go away, and the call dropped. So, yep, we know that the platform was unavailable at that time. You then click on it and drill a little bit further, and it tells us some information. So routes available for the request, but there's no gateway at this point. So it's saying that I had an active route, but my gateway said, go away, I can't handle the call at the time. Now this is very, very popular fault that we get, and it's not actually a fault, it means the capacity on your ISDN lines or your SIP trunks have run out, and it can't push another call out to the carriage network. Although the user experience for this is call could not be completed. So we can then have a look at this diagnostic log and take this a bit further and say, well, how often is this happening within our environment? We want to know what the utilization is on our network and really, is this happening enough for us to warrant putting some additional services in? So you notice when we're back on this screen, all of these detail reports can be clicked on. And when we click on one of these reports, it'll start to give us some trend analysis of what's happening with these faults. So you can see with this first fault on the screen, we've got the 1200 error code, and it says the user could not be routed because the gateways are marked down, and that's happening quite a fair bit over our period because we're not being able to route these calls. We can then have a look at who this is affecting and where the top cases are. So we've said we've got 117 errors on our front end one, we've had 72 on front end two, and if we keep going down, we can see that, you know, quite a fair few of our users are being affected, But most importantly, it's happening on all of our outbound routing. We've had 261 occurrences of this specific fault in the last reporting period. And you can define how the reporting period works. We can see which users were affected, which phone numbers they were trying to get to, and it's a really, really quick and easy way. Just from one person reporting that the call cannot be connected, we've delved into the reporting platform to see all these sorts of things. And to configure this, we need a SQL server. We, on our control panel, tick a few boxes, and that's literally it. How long do we want to keep our data for? And it will automatically log all of these services. You set up a reporting services pack, which is part of the install process, and you'll be available to see all these sorts of data straight out of the box. So what I'm going to show you now is just that. And whilst I've shown you some of the reporting functionality out of the call detail reports, so specific user reports, I'm now going to show you what's available from within the Link platform. And a lot of the times you want to know specifically about response groups. What's happening with our response groups? How many calls are we getting? What's happening to those calls? And how many abandoned calls are we getting? So the response group that I set up earlier is available to us in what we call a response group usage report. Now this will take a few seconds to load, but this is pulling the response groups across our entire platform, telling us exactly what's happened with our calls and how many sessions have failed, how many have been abandoned, how many have been answered, how many have been transferred off to other agents, and we can even get down to seeing the average handling time per agent. So a lot of the data is being produced, it's just sitting in a SQL reporting platform. So we can see via our response group report, this is showing us some data for the previous week, and we can see quite a high number of calls, 1,400 calls over the last week. Weekend's obviously quite quiet, and it's showing us the amount of traffic running through the platform. How many of those calls are being answered, how many are being offered, and how many are being successful. One of the things to note is a lot of people will configure their response groups in what they call parallel ringing or the attendant mode ringing, which means it's going to ring on every person in the group, as we saw earlier, until somebody answers the call. And what Link will do is it'll say, well, I've sent 400 invites out for that one call, if there's 400 people in a group, but only one of them answered the call. So it'll actually mark those calls as an abandoned call, and you'll get quite a high abandon rate. So you need to be mindful of how you've set up routing methods within Link. And if you want to get specifically on a specific queue, then you need to just look at different queue methods. So what we're going to do is we're going to put our TechEd01 at Daedalus into our report. It'll go off and look for data that's been made available, and we can see this is exactly what happened for us today. We had 14 received calls, we had 5 offered, meaning that we had 9 people hang up mid-queue, and one of those calls was answered, and that was a successful participant. So we can get even further detailed and like go and grab all your phone numbers. We can pull this response group report up and see what time of day are we losing our calls. What's the most active part of our day? And right now the most active part of our day is 11 o'clock. Surprise, surprise. If I want to look at all the received calls that we had during that period, here they all are. And it's showing me exactly what was coming in at the time. The response codes are all 200, meaning the people either hang up the call themselves or I ended the call on my end, but they're all successful calls and they've all come in a very short amount of time. So you can see that first demonstration that we did where we built the platform to support the response group and we set up the number and the workflow and those groups, we're seeing that data directly in the platform as a historical report within, you know, a few minutes of that happening. So the reporting services are quite fantastic. Across the dashboard, and just one last thing to sort of show you, a lot of organisations are worried about the adoption of Link. Are they really taking this on board? You can see in this specific platform, which has only been running for about a week or so, we've had 10,000 audio minutes. We've got 1,200 IM sessions. We've had 11 application sharing sessions. We can see how many web conferences, how many PSDN conferences we've had. And you can start to see trend analysis on how many of those calls had poor quality. So out of the 10,000 odd minutes, we had one call with bad quality. You can drill down and find out exactly what that call had bad quality because of. You can get very, very detailed in these reports. And if I want to go a little bit further and look at what our reasons for failures were, a lot of the time people are dialing wrong numbers. They might have a different headset plugged in. They might not be on the right network. And we can start to see those trend analysis and really drill down on the data that's available. So whilst people want to be able to use the Link platform for quite a lot of advanced telephony services and being able to replace their PBX, when you want to go and replace your contact center, it's these sorts of reports that are going to make it easier for you to be able to justify what's going on within the environment. Now, if that's not enough reporting, there's a lot of vendors out there who are building applications around these reports and extending them even further. So there's a product called Aspera, and Aspera allows you to see real-time dashboard status information about calls and response groups. Users can see exactly when they need to take a break, they know what the active calls are within the queue, and you know, you can really start to get a much more visual approach of what's going on within the environment. It'll work through a firewall. You don't actually need to install anything on your computer. You can run this from home and tunnel through the Link client. So it's quite quick and easy and be able to do. And this is a real live example of a technical and a sales queue showing you that real-time reporting. Some of the other things you can do is you can install customized reports, and you can also do all the historical reporting that you're used to seeing within the platform, as well as wrap-up codes. So out of the box, Link can do a hell of a lot. For a couple of grand, you can go and put some reporting options around the platform and get a whole lot more. One of the things I want to talk about to get a little bit more deep here is the technical integration methods, or how you can actually integrate contact centers with Link. So I've shown you the response groups, and I've shown you exactly what you can do out of the box. But now when you want to extend this functionality and capability further, we need to be able to integrate that with the Link platform. So there's really three types of integration methods. The first is UCMA, and for me it's the most tightest form of integration. Microsoft have written an API that allows you to directly integrate to the front-end services. You can build conferences, you can set up call routing, you can play announcements, you can put people on hold. You can do all of this from an external application, and it's through this UCMA API that makes it possible. A couple of the highlights here, it's developed specifically for Link. It leverages the front-end servers for call control, so you're not relying on an external platform. You're using what Link have built to be able to deliver your calls. It uses the conference nodes within the AV MCU, so there's an AV conferencing unit within Link. It stands up conference nodes to be able to deliver these calls and handle that routing methods, and they're certified with Link. So they've gone through that process of making sure that they're all certified. The next method is direct SIP. So this is where you can route the calls via a gateway. Now, for those of you who haven't seen gateway vendors of audio codes, Sonos, there's plenty of gateway vendors out there. And a lot of these technologies will allow you to directly SIP integrate the platform with an external call center. They don't have to be certified for Link, although it's better if they are. This direct SIP method allows you to be able to bring the calls into Link through that platform. The voice path still goes through Link, but all the call handling is handled outside the box. So the announcements, queuing, etc. is completed outside of Link within the platform that you've chosen. And there's a bit of crossover between these two different methods. The next is probably one of the most simplest forms, but it's what I see most contact centers vendors doing. Even the ones who use UCMA, they'll still do some form of client-side API. And it's using the UCMA protocol, or the UCMA API, but it allows you to be able to control the Link client itself. So it's good for presence-based routing, being able to find an expert, etc. You can still leverage the call functions from Link, so you can remote control the Link client and say, answer that call, do this, do that with that session. And it also allows you to deliver telephony to an external, or to the Link handset, or an external SIP device. So, you know, a combination of these methods is typically used when building and integrating the platforms. One of the things I want to highlight is just how mature Link really is. There's 6 recording solutions available for Link. There's 10 billing and enhanced reporting, and you've seen one of those today. There's 13 qualified call centers. I knew there was a few, but I didn't realize there was 13 until I was putting this slide deck together. There's 13 qualified call centers, and this is available on the TechNet website. I've got a link to it later on the slide. 4 tenant consoles and 1 software-defined networking platform. And these are certified directly against the platform. They're fully supported by Microsoft and available to use today. So I want to now start to give you a look at this call center platforms. I'm going to hand it over to John Rigas from Zcom, and then I'll wrap it up at the end. So thank you.
Thanks, everyone. My name's John. I'm from Zcom. Just a quick one. Who here has heard of Zcom? I didn't think of so many. Who's got a Zcom solution? There's a few. And getting one. That's what we like. a lot of people have never heard of us before. You know, we've been around for 20 years, or nearly 20 years, so we're about 19 years old. originally founded in 1994, a New Zealand company. He purposefully built the software, a contact center software platform, on a NEC PABX. Last year, we were acquired by Enchhouse Interactive. They're a Canadian-based company, and they've got a lot of I suppose, applications similar to ours, you know, contact center platforms, call recording platforms, you know, that sort of thing. So that's that. And Zcom, I've got about 200 employees. Our development's in New Zealand. There's about nearly 80, 90 people over there. Over in America, about the same. And then in Australia, we've got offices in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. And they're here today. We've got some people here today. So if you've got any questions, you can come to us. You can come to our booth. We're on booth 24. I knew that. I was just testing you, making sure you're awake. So we've got some guys from, Jeremy's from Brisbane. We've got Stuart from, Stuart from Sydney. And we've got my counterpart, which is I'm a solutions engineer. She's from Sydney as well. Pretty big. We've got over 3,100 sites around the world. In Australia, we've got nearly 700 contact centres. In 88,000 seats around the world. In Australia, about 25,000. We've got about 25% of the market in Australia. On Link, just in Australia, we've got about 300 contact seats, and that's growing. So I'll show you some of the customers that we've already got. What we do, we just don't provide call routing, which is, I suppose, what the response groups and compared to other PABXs, response groups are quite, in fact, very good. But I suppose what we do is, I suppose, take that to the next level. So what we can do is multimedia contact center does email routing, web chat, web callback, outbound. You know, there's a lot of features just above and beyond, I suppose, just call routing. We have an operator console that was just released about a couple of months ago. So if you are using Link and you're using the Link attendant console and you're not happy with it, we've been doing an attendant console for a long, long time, and we've now released that on the Link platform. We do skill-based routing, not only on voice but on all the other media as well. So just like you get a phone call, if you've got no phone calls in the queue, you can get an email. If you've got no emails, you can get a web chat. And you can prioritise those, give those to certain people based on your skill set. We do process automation. Not only, when I say complex IVRs, we've got an automated attendant in the product already, so, you know, press one, press two. But we can also do IVRs, things like, mobile pay systems and credit card details and, you know, that sort of thing. The ability to integrate to other databases and provide responses and, you know, hopefully get rid of some of that functionality that maybe your contact centre is doing that can be automated. We integrate to things like CRMs, Dynamics, Salesforce. There's a whole lot that we integrate to. We can give you an ISDK, so if you have purpose-built your own CRM, we can give you a software development kit. You can write your own. You can do screen popping, embed controls into your CRM, that sort of thing. Enhanced routing. We talk about the matchmaking service. This takes it a step further. This can actually look into your database to decide what it does with the call. So a caller comes in, you present their CLI, or maybe they type in an account number. It'll look at the details of the person. It might say, this is a male who's 40-year-old, like to speak to young women. Let's transfer them out to this person over here. Or maybe they haven't paid their bill. Let's send them to the accounts queue. So you can do some really smart things with that. And then, you know, take it a step further again, especially for large contact centres who have got a workforce management solution, you know, the ability to schedule your workers. So, you know, any time of the day, really, but if you have got, you know, a very complex, 24 hours, multiple shifts, and you need to be able to provide a certain level of service, these things are quite amazing. You just plug some data in, it'll tell you when people are logging in, when people are logging out, when they're to go on breaks. And, you know, based on all of that, it'll tell you what your service level's going to be. And if you want to improve that, how many more staff you need. Yeah, these things are quite amazing. If you ever get a chance to sit in a demo, yeah, really, really good. And above that, we've got a quality management suite. So call recording, record all your calls, queuing, outbound calls, inbound calls, agent evaluation, so against the scorecard, you can listen to that call recording and then start marking your agents, and that'll give you a score for that particular call. And then screen capture and application recording. Application recording's new, it was released in the last version, so you can actually record, even though they're not on a call, you can record what they're doing on the screen between certain times of the day, or maybe you want to capture what they're doing in Outlook or something like that. And of course, yeah, reporting and administration. One of the things that people love about our product is the administration. Very, very easy to use. A lot of people teach themselves how to use that because it's quite easy to use, all GUI-based, lots of help files, you know, that sort of thing. These are some of our customers. Some of these are quite large, some of these are quite small. It really makes no difference. Hopefully, some of you will see your own up there. I think we've got some customers in here today. Some of these examples are, crazy domains, quite small in terms of, they've got 40 contact center seats, but it's geographically dispersed. They've got agents in, I think, Singapore and Malaysia, all running from Perth.
And these customers, they're all on Link, yeah?
Yeah, these customers on Link. So these are Link contact centres, exactly. Queensland Cancer Council, located here in Brisbane. Cardno, also here in Brisbane as well. Quite small, 5 seats. Melbourne IT and Web Central, they're one company or two companies that have joined up. They're about 150 seats across Melbourne and Brisbane. With Link, where you are is irrelevant. Whether you're in Melbourne, Sydney, overseas, at home, it just brings that capability out. Some of these have got IVRs, integration into their CRMs, screen popping. They're all completely different. In terms of how big we can go, at the moment on Link, we just say we go up to 400 agents. That will get larger. Not that everyone in here has got a 400-seat contact centre, but... We're quite careful about what we say we can support initially because it's, Link is still a fairly new platform in terms of the, PABX industry. So we have 400 agents, 1,000 current calls in queue. Most people won't have an ISDN, or have 30 ISDNs running into their building anyway, so that's probably not going to be an issue. 3 calls per second, 10,800 calls per hour. It's really quite quick. So what I'll do is I'll show you the demo. Where are we?
Good.
Number 7.
Sort of.
Oh, good. Okay, good. That's my screen. Let's see. We've got this incredibly attractive little boy at the top. He looks exactly like his father. Just thought I'd say that. And we've got our agent desktop. I'll show you that there's a newer agent desktop coming. The current client, which is this one here. We've been using it for about 10 years. Very, very feature-rich. It's got a lot of information in it. But I think what people are starting to ask for is something a little bit more simple. And we've developed a new one, and it's nearly out. It's in alpha testing, so we'll show you that. Hopefully it won't crash on me. That's always a good thing. So this is our agent desktop. As I said, a lot of information here, and I won't go through all of it because I've got 15 minutes. And usually a presentation takes 2 hours. So if I start talking really quickly, you'll know why. This is all our real-time stats. So you can see all the queues that we've got configured. You'll only be able to see the queues that you've got that are configured or that you're allowed to see. So if you have got a business that have got multiple departments and they're all completely separate, you'll only see your own queues. They can be any sorts of queues. So I've got a few phone queues set up there. I've got an operator queue. I've got an email, web chat. I've got a social media queue there as well. You'll get all your real-time stats, so you can see, things like your service level, your average handling time, average speed of answer, calls abandoned, etc. And you'll also get some, real-time stats on your agents as well. So you can see here Lucas has taken 2 calls today and his average queue talk time is 40 seconds. That changes instantaneously, so, that'll update during the day. And, Lucas will only be able to see his own stats. He won't be able to see anyone else's, but, say, a supervisor can see everything. It's all controlled by security. If that's not enough real-time stats, for some reason it never is, you got something like this. This is a wallboard application that you can put on a plasma screen or walk around with an iPad or a Surface, I should say. I meant to say that. Oops. a tablet. I should say tablet. You can walk around with a tablet. And this can look however you like. So all these tiles can be dropped, dragged, resized, recolored. Alert at different levels. It'll show queue stats. It'll show all your queue stats for different media as well. You can look at things like down here, you can see the fault tickets. That'll look into a CRM database and pull some information out. So it might be, sales for the month or, how many faults you've got logged. You can have messages of the day rolling along there as well. You get agent stats, and you have graphing as well. A lot of people use this, and they can actually publish this on an external website. So, you know, you can go to internode.com, for example, and go to their customer support. It'll tell you what the current wait time is. So really good information, especially for companies that have got long wait times. You might not want people to wait. I'll get over that. I'll just put myself on a break so that you can see this call into a queue, and I'm going to get one of my trusty companions to put it in. Hopefully everything works really, really well. So when we've got an automated attendant set up, so you'll see Karina has just dialed in. She'll be getting options like, you know, press one for sales, two for support, or hold for an operator. That's all configured in the software, and I'll show you some of the administration as well. It's made a match on her number because it's in our phone book. Otherwise, it'll just come up with unknown on a particular number. It can search through an ODBC phone book. So if you have got, you know, a database with everyone's name in it, it can do that as well. So while she's waiting in queue, she'll be getting music on hold. You can have different music on hold per queue. So if you have got multiple companies, everyone can have different music on hold. You can have different messages while they're playing in queue. So, you know, your call's important to us. You've all heard that before. Things like ETA, estimated time of answer, or positioning queue. We also offer a callback service. So while you're waiting in queue, if you don't want to wait, you can press star, leave a number, a message, and hang up. And then that call will stay in queue like it never left. And then it'll get to the top of the queue, deliver to the agent. The agent listens to the message and clicks dial to dial them back. So that's what we call callback. That's been in our product for a long, long, long time. People have tried to copy it unsuccessfully, or sort of successfully, I don't know. You see it's gone into alert, and that's because I've set the alert to be 1 minute. And if I make myself available, and I'm going to take myself off a break, that call deliver. And I've got a lovely Plantronics headset here, and I can just answer that via the headset. So I'm now talking to Karina. This call's actually being recorded at the same time, so maybe while I'm talking to Karina, I'm getting a bit bored. Starting to play a bit of... hope I don't muck this up while I'm doing this. I'm not very good at this. Anyway, you get the idea. Once I'm finished with the call, I can hang that up.
You can actually see the calls running through the Link platform, so that call path is all through Link, using the UCMA client that we talked about earlier on the front-end servers.
And I can wrap that call up if you've got wrap-up codes configured. And off we go. And I'm ready for my next call. I might have some work time configured. In fact, I probably do. And, you know, after a certain amount of time, I'll put back into the queue and I'll be ready for my next phone call or email or web chat or whatever is waiting for me. And, of course, everyone else in the queue can see that I'm busy or that I'm on work. So it just sort of opens up that entire... everyone can see everyone, and you know, hopefully it's not just a supervisor looking at you saying you should be on a break, you should be off a break, all that sort of thing. So I won't go in any more into the agent desktop. In fact, I might log out and close that down so I can show you the new client as well. So the new client is what we call, it's called Touchpoint. If someone wants to search Touchpoint in Wikipedia, you'll see what it actually means. It's actually a business term. It's about communicating with customers in the most simplest form, because I can't remember the the exact meaning. But this is what we call Touchpoint. You'll see that...
this is the new desktop client, yeah?
Correct. Oh, there we go. So it's actually used my SIP address. It knows that I'm running Link, and it's just automatically logged in. You'll see it's very, I suppose, you know, almost Link-ish, Link 2030-ish. And you'll see that as I hover over certain areas, I'll be able to do things like log into queue. And then now that I'm logged into queue, I can do things like go on a break, go on work time, all that sort of thing. You know, you can, when I say close it down, it'll just sit in a toolbar down here. And then, you know, you'll get options. All these options will change based on the state of your handset. So if I was on a call, you'd be able to see hold, you know, hang up, that sort of thing. Or I can do a find, and then as I search through, who can I search? If I search Barbara Stewart, it'll come up, it will eventually come up with her status as well there. So that's the new client. That's, as I said, being built. That's in alpha testing at the moment. It's going beta in November, and that's what it'll look like. And if people have got our system, that's what you're going to have in about probably about a year's time by the time it's completely finished with not only voice but with all our multimedia modules as well. On top of that, we've got recording. So this is the recording. It's just a web interface. You know, you can set up your recording so it records everything or a portion of your calls. It's really up to you on how you do that. And same with screen capture. You can say record everything, record certain applications like Outlook or, you know, Internet Explorer, and also record during these times. Maybe you want to know what they're doing during the lunch period. I don't really know. So I'm just going to search for all the calls for the last one day, but you can search, obviously, based on time, duration, calling line ID, that sort of thing, and also flag values. So you might flag certain calls of, you know, with the customer ID or something like that, and that can all be done via an API. I'm just going to say search, and up comes the call recordings, and this was the one that we just did there, and I can listen to that. Unfortunately, you can't hear it, but you can see that as we're talking, it'll go across. You can add flag values to that. How much time have I got?
Time's up.
Good. And you know, while we're listening to that, you know, as a supervisor, you can do an evaluation, and I'll just show you this as well. As I'm going through that call, I can say, did they introduce themselves? Yes. Did they do that? No. Yes. You know, et cetera. And that, you'll see, it'll score the call. So I only got 68% for that call. And, you know, when he established the caller's name, maybe I want to say where he didn't do that. And I can, you know, drag and drop that into that area there. So that way, when you're sitting with the agent, especially if it's a long call, you don't want to have to listen to 25 minutes of recording to see where they went wrong. And there's a little snippet there. And then you can save that and report on that, as well as, if I get out of there, you can see the screen capture there as well. Had to happen, didn't it?
There we go.
Oh, thank God for that. Okay, so yeah, you'll see that what I was doing during that call. It actually captures at a rate of one frame a second, so you'll see me playing Minesweeper there. And then obviously you can evaluate that as well, especially if they're having problems, you know, with their CRM. So I'm going to leave that there because I'm getting the wind up. And I'll hand back.
Very good. Thanks, John. Round of applause for John.
Thank you.
So now I'll introduce Mario Da Silva. Mario is the country manager at Aspect. Mario used to work at Microsoft, so he's quite familiar with the Link platform and moved to Aspect. So I'll give you all the reasons why he's done that and introduce Mario. Thanks, Mario.
Thanks, Dan. So I'm not going to do probably as polished a job as that John just did. He's been in a contact center industry for how long?
A long time. Like 20 years?
I've been at Aspect for 6 weeks, so it's not going to be polished, right? So don't ask me any tough questions. If you do, I'll take them on board and I'll come back to you. And like John said, Dan, myself, everyone else will be down at the showcase if you want to catch up after the session as well. So let's jump into this, and I'm going to try and skip some of it because I realize there's a lot of duplication between what John and I are going to talk about, so I'm going to try and skip over some aspects of it. Actually, use aspect in a different way.
Hey.
There you go. Should have a little jar of dollar coin going for each one. So I just want to give you a quick brief rundown of Aspect's history. Been in the industry for more than 20 years. Been doing was the first company that did the outbound dialer solution, and that was back in 81. In fact, we just acquired another company recently. I'm not going to go through everyone. We just acquired a new hosted as well as on-premises IVR solution called Voxeo. Is now in the portfolio set for the Aspect solutions as well. So been for a long time, let's put it that way, in the industry. Some quick stats, and again, these slides will be available on the show net, so you can download them if you're interested in numbers and things like that, but it gives you an idea of the scale, how many systems are deployed, how many agents we've got deployed worldwide, and across in the next slide, give you a sense of who's typically running the Aspect solution. So if I look at the global Fortune 100 companies, we got 64% of them actually running Aspect solutions in that environment. In the US, 83% of the top 100 Fortune 100 companies are running the solution. And can provide you references and those kind of things if it's of interest to you. How many people love analysts? I expected that. But some people do look at analysts, so if you're interested in that, there's some background around what the analysts are saying about Aspect and our capabilities and a historic view of it as well. Quickly, just show you some brands that are running, again, Aspect with Link. So these are global brands running Aspect with Link today as a solution in their environment. Some of them running 400 agents. I think the education one out of the UK is running 400 agents on the platform today on top of a Link solution as well. So it just gives you an idea of the scale of the platform. I do have 50 slides to go through in 15 minutes, so get comfortable for a while. So I just want to drive through what does Aspect look at from a contact center solution, right? So interaction management is one aspect of it. The channels, the different communications modes, web chat, voice, email, SMS, social. That's your interactive management. And we look at how we use technology to optimize that interface and to give the best service to your customer base. But then we take it off to workforce optimization as well, as to how do you make sure that you're delivering the best service for your customers? How do you make sure you've got the right number of people rostered on to do the work in your organization? How do you optimize that? How do you deal with peak periods during your day? Do you have enough agents on board? So that's part of the workforce optimization piece. And then you've got the whole back office one, which is more around how do you deal with back office processes to deliver the right outcome for a customer? How do you measure how long it takes to do, say, a loan application? How do you respond to it? How are you meeting the SLAs around it? So that's all part of the whole Aspect suite of products that we bring to the table that we can deliver from a contact center point of view. Now, quickly, why Aspect and Microsoft, right? Aspect made a decision more than 5 years back that Microsoft was a platform that they wanted to integrate with, not only with Link, right? So if I look at the Aspect solution, it runs on Windows Server. We do web services calls, and I've got the API flows down the back if someone's interested in looking at what kind of traffic's going in what direction, what media, all that kind of stuff. We use Exchange. We use SQL at the back end, so all our reporting services is running on SQL. We provide out-of-the-box canned reports, but you also have the flexibility, if you know reporting services, to write your own reports and have custom reports developed. We use Active Directory for all our authentication services. Our client that I'll do a demo of will use a Silverlight on the desktop. So you can have an agent working from home. You can have an agent sitting in any branch office. And that Silverlight agent can also be hooked into your CRM application, for example. If you don't want it to sit separate as a toolbar, you can actually hook it into CRM as well, so it sits within your CRM application itself. And again, up the top, you've got all the different interfaces. But the other one, integration into SharePoint as well for document management and all those other bits and pieces are there. So Aspect's made a real decision to go and partner with Microsoft and do it across the stack. And again, even though this is a Link session, not only for Link. Jumping into the details, so what does Link actually bring to the table? It provides those extra channels of communication at the back end. You get a call coming into the contact center. Now your agent has the ability to use skill search to get the right call to the right person in the back end if they need a skills expert, or they can have an IM conversation with someone in the back end, get the right information, and get first call resolution back to your users. Right, it gives you all those different modes of communication over there as well. Find the expert through SharePoint integration. So how many people are using SharePoint and how many people have loaded their skills databases into SharePoint? Not many? Okay. Well, if you did, Aspect can hook into that and actually use that to figure out how to find the best person with the right skill set as well. So with that, actually, this is an interesting add-on we've released about a year back, which is, think of the scenario of someone walking into a bank and saying, I want to get in touch with a financial planner. You walk up to a kiosk, the call goes into your queue through the Aspect queuing engine over there with Unified IP. Call gets delivered to an agent. Agent finds the right person that can help this individual and sets up the media stream through Link and actually delivers and gets a service delivered to your user through a kiosk using Link as their video channel. Right, so that's the kind of capability that Aspect brings to the table, integrated with the platform. And the wrap-up. So let me try and do a demo. I'm going to use a flash demo, so I'm going to apologize. It's not going to be as robust as John's demo, but let's jump into this. Oops. That's a great start. Take two. Okay. So let me load up this demo. So in this scenario, I'm going to walk you through a couple of scenarios where a user calls into the contact center and what the interaction could look like. So let me click through that. So this is a web page of a financial institution. The customer, me, I want to make a query. I can actually see how many chat conversations in that queue before I call up, so I can decide what media I want to use before I even dial into the contact center because I know I'll get a quicker response. This looks like a pretty slack contact center because there's not too many queues there, but gives you a sense of what can be done. So I can go over here and click a chat window, get a pop-up saying you need help. Yes. Type a message that says, I have a loan application going through. Can you tell me if it's been approved? And then we'll take a look at it from an agent's perspective. The Link pop-up comes up, as you can see. So we're using Link itself over here. We're not taking them out of the Link client interface. The bottom over here, you'll notice, is the Silverlight toolbar for the agent's machine. You'll notice it actually tells the agent they're in an IM window right now or doing an IM media stream right now. I can choose to click on it and say, let me check it out for you, as you typically tend to do. This can then integrate into your document management system. And this is, again, in SharePoint. And we do this based on the details. In this case, it's a SIP URI that we could have collected from the client or a telephone number. So we pull up the right context in the document management system. And over here, the agent can actually see, OK, I can see the application stage one was approved. It's going through a second level of verification right now, and that typically takes about 2 days to get done. So I can go back to the client and say, yep, underwriting's been approved, blah, blah, blah. Send that back to the customer, and Bob's your uncle. You've got the customer come in through a chat channel. You've had the ability to integrate into your document management system, pull the data up for you, and deliver a service and resolve the problem that they've come in from. So let me close that down. And with that, you've also got the codes that you wrap up codes. So if you want to call back the customer or verify it with the customer in 2 days that it's confirmed, you can actually set a call back if you choose to. So that's a real simple chat interface demonstration. Let me do it from a phone point of view. Now, I'm hoping this won't make too much noise. Okay, so again, the customer is running Link. It can pop straight into Link. If the customer is running Skype, you can use Skype to make that call into the contact center as well. So let's do that. And you'll notice we still have the Link interface there so the client can continue to use it. Now, there's no audio from this point on because I said it's a flash demo, right? We pop up the client's information automatically. Client, same interaction. Let's assume it's the same interaction. The client says, I want to check on my loan application. How's it going? How it's tracking? You now have the option to say, okay, actually, I need to get in touch with someone to find this information. It might be an investment banker. And we've got Gordon Gecko over there, who's an investment banker in our organization. You can double click, have the conversation with Gordon, tell him that's the application number. Can you check it for me? So Gordon goes away, takes a look, while you still got the client on the phone, right? So you're telling the client, just hold on for a second while I'm trying to find this information for you. And then Gordon comes back with the information, you pass it on to the client. Again, you can wrap up the call. So let me close that down. I can actually go in here. Oops. hope I'm not dialing external. It had to be one demo that played up, didn't it? Kill that. Okay, anyway. You get the idea. Actually, I got to hang up the call before I wrap the call up. See, I never worked in a contact center, so I don't know how to do these things, right? So there you go. I can say I want to do a follow-up. You put in all the follow-up details. You can say I want to call this customer back in a week. Put in the date. You actually have the time to put in a preferred time, whether you contact the customer on the primary number in your CRM application. You also have the ability to say whether you want to be the person who took the first call to call the customer back, rather than a random agent calling the customer back. You have the context of the conversation, so you can make sure you're the one actually does that. So I'm getting warned by Daniel. I got 3 minutes. So let me jump into something real quick. Real quick demo from my agent point of view. Let's look at an email transaction. There's an email sitting in the queue. It automatically pops up. Someone's asked the question, how long does it take to typically for a check to clear? 3 days, sounds like a good time. Anyone in the banking industry here? Send it off, wrap up, basic stuff, right? So let me show you one other, show you some of the reporting stuff. So these are some canned reports that come out of the box with the Aspect solution. I know the Metro or the modern UI interface seems to be a favorite, so out-of-box reports gives you real-time information that gets put up in big screens in a contact center so people can get access to that. Can even take it down to other elements of it. So let's, there we go. Gives you an idea of what's there. One thing I wanted to show you was an interesting one, so which I thought was quite awesome at least. So I can see the agents by seating chart. I can see who's busy, who's available, all those kind of things that in contact centers you, might be a useful scenario for you. I'll take a look at a more contextual thing. So this is where I can look at my agents. I can see how long they've been idle, whether they're currently active or idle or in their wrap-up mode, how long they've been available, how long they're active for. One of the interesting things I can also do is I can, on the fly, shouldn't do a right click. Jump into and monitor the agent's desktop.
All call city manager for quality assurance. All representatives.
So this is basically a supervisor jumping on a live call and being able to hear the audio stream.
Hello, my name is Jessica Smith. I submitted an application yesterday online, and it was my first time doing an application over the internet. I wanted to make sure that you received it and if it was completed correctly.
Whichever one was that?
Let me take a look. Can you provide me with your application ID that you should receive when you submitted the application?
Sure. That's AFOL-1-103.
Okay. Yes, I see that. It actually came in yesterday, so we did receive it. Thing looks fine from there. Let me open it up and take a look at the application. That way we can make sure it's got all the
so you'll notice that there's a call monitoring evaluation happening on the fly as well over here.
Just take a look at it right now.
And the person who is actually snooping in, or the supervisor, I shouldn't say snooping in, can actually evaluate whether people did the right thing. This is done on the fly, not after the fact as well. So I'll stop at that because I've been warned my time's up by Daniel and I don't want to get in trouble with him. Hopefully that gives you a good snapshot. Let me close this down, otherwise you get the annoying sound in the background. That'll give you a good snapshot of the capability of what Aspect can bring to the table in terms of contact center and some of the reporting engine over there as well. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Mario. Thanks, Luke. Cheers. So you've seen two different types of contact centers. It's the ZCOM platform, the Aspect platform, as well as what was in the link out of the box with response groups. So hopefully that gives you a really good idea of sort of what's available and that the marketplace is really mature. There's, as we said, 13 contact center solutions built today around the link platform. So we'll talk a little bit about some design considerations. What type of platform should you buy? How is it going to integrate with the link platform? And it's really down to what we first thought about, and that is, where are your users? Are your users in a single office? Are they in lots of offices around the country? Are they working remotely? Are they running off 4G? where are those users? And the reason that's important is because it then determines what kind of a speech path you want to use for those users. The other question you need to ask is, how are they going to be connected to the platform? Are they going to be on a dedicated local LAN? Are they going to be over an MPLS? Are they going to be signing in from home? And one of the things that we're really trying to push organisations with Link for is your contact centre agents can work from home. You can bring people who are on maternity leave back a lot sooner, where they can sign into the Link platform or they can sign into their contact centre for a couple of hours each day and start to work within the environment and get back into that workspace. The contact centre isn't tied anymore to that physical phone that you had on your desk. And the other piece is, who will control the voice? Do you want the contact centre platform to control voice within the contact centre? Do you want to give that to Link to be able to achieve? And at the end of the day, all these questions, there's no right or wrong answer, but there's a solution that'll meet every single requirement. Some of the design considerations to think about, it comes back to those three methods that we're talking about. And the first one, if you're using UCMA, one of the most important things to do here is to scale your Link front-end servers to be able to support the number of conference calls you want to be able to run. As John was saying earlier in the ZCon presentation, they're standing up 3 calls every second, can support 10,000 calls an hour, was it, John? That's a huge number of call volume. You need to make sure that your front-end servers are going to be able to scale to support that level of capacity and volume. If you don't want to invest in the Link front-end server infrastructure to be able to support that level of call volume, then other contact center platforms will be able to let you do things like Direct SIP, where you'd invest in the reliability and resiliency within those other platforms. So one of the things I wanted to sort of just come back and recap, and that is that understanding what types of contact centers are available, how you integrate that with the Link environment. And probably the more important thing is, if you haven't replaced your PBX with Link, go and have a think about it. It's a very mature platform. We're doing it for lots and lots of organisations and customers, and it's working quite well. And it's now, with the advent of all these contact centre platforms, that we can really sort of start to drive that adoption and enable some of the features that perhaps may have been missing. So if you want to be able to win a Sculpt Mouse, make sure you complete your session evaluation. It's key to do that. If you haven't been up for a fly in the extra, I'm a pilot myself and I'm itching to get this thing, so I've got to get back to the showcase and see my name being drawn out. See if you can go and have a look at that. Last couple of things, there's a few resources for you to go and have a look at. And I've also put up some of our track resources, I said earlier. So if you're looking for some Exchange Server bits and pieces, these are all on the slide deck available afterwards. Last but not least, some of the track resources available for the Link qualified applications is there. The ZCom Aspect and Aspera software are all there as well. So feel free to download those at another time. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your time and open up for any questions. And remember, we've got lots of prizes to give away. So good questions. Do you want to come back up, John and Mario? Here we go. Do we need a mic or just right? You can load it, that's fine.
With the chat functionalities for both contact centres, will that hook into persistent chat in 2013?
So the question was, will the chat functionality within the contact centre software integrate with persistent chat in 2013?
Yeah, so the Aspect solution actually hooks into persistent chat. You could use persistent chat in multiple ways, right? You could use it as a knowledge base, or you could use it as an ongoing information gathering system, and definitely, in fact, there's a couple of, when you download the slide deck, you'll notice there's a couple of integration points, and you'll notice there's an integration point for persistent chat as well into the Aspect one.
Very cool. Another question down the back here.
Yeah, mate, ZCom, will the version 7 be supporting Server 2012?
Yes. Yes.
Same with SQL database.
Yes, 2012.
2012 as well?
Correct.
Very good. Come on. More questions? Have we got more prizes? How good is this?
Will the consoles look after multiple UX platforms? So could you use the console to look after several instances of different Link?
Good question. So I know that the ZCom platform will. You can hook that into multiple Link pools and run multiple connections. We've done that ourselves. Aspect, I'm assuming the same
as well.
Yep. So very good. Good question. How many more prizes have we got left? You can keep asking questions, by the way, until we run out of prizes. You can pick them, John.
Two more.
Yep, go for it.
Sure.
I take it that interaction is logged into your stuff as well?
Definitely.
And the content of the interaction?
Yes. So you log both the screen,
yep,
as well as any audio stream that's recorded. It's all recorded as well. So you can either do an after-the-fact evaluation, or in the case I demoed over there was an evaluation on the fly.
Yeah, well, that's the evaluation of the supervisor, yeah. But if the client's coming for that chat,
Sure. That's all recorded as well. Definitely.
Yep, go.
No, unfortunately not. Some of the really expensive platforms can do that. I think NICE can actually look at the WAV file or the MP3 file and then convert that to text and then do some things with it, but no, not what we've got.
So on the aspect side, we actually use phonics instead of doing the transcribe to text, because depending upon the accents of the individual, when you do speech to text, it can get translated very differently. So we actually use phonics to figure out what the person's actually saying and doing the matching on that. So if someone calls up and saying, I want to cancel my contract, you can actually pick that up. And the good thing of doing something like that is you don't sample only a small set of your calls, or you don't play through a small set of your calls. You actually can cover 100% of your calls if you're using that kind of speech analytics in your solution as well.
There's a number of different methods of SIP recording. There's a new standard emerging called SIPREC, and I've seen some stuff out of Redmond. There's some plans to support SIPREC, which is where you establish a specific recording session in each case. But most of the traditional recording sessions will either record from the conference bridge, so the actual link front end, when it generates a conference, it'll tap a silent plug into that and record the session there. You can also do port spanning, you can do trunk side recording. So there's a lot of recording platforms, and on the slide deck, I think there's about 6 or 7 recording vendors out there on that link, it'll do it all as well. So quite a number of ways of doing it.
I would just specifically how the two
products. Yep. Yeah, so for the ZCOM side, we use port spanning. Okay. If you want call recording on its own, we can do UCMA or port spanning, but if you're using the ZCOM contact center, we use port spanning.
6 weeks in role, so I'll claim ignorance on that, but I'm happy to give you my business card, and if you drop me a mail, I'll get the answer back for you on that one.
With Lakes at Linky, if you have an agent who's away, say, sick, is there a way to remove, get them out of the tube so the phone doesn't ring?
Yeah, because Link's doing the presence-based routing, if their presence status isn't green and available to take a call, they won't get delivered a call. So that matchmaking service will go and look to see what present state they're currently in. If they're away, signed out, offline, whatever that might be, it won't send them calls.
Sorry,
the other way to do it is if you want to force your agents to, you can make them formal agents, meaning they have to actually log into the queue, as we saw earlier. There's a couple of different ways of achieving the same thing. So, yep.
Is
Touchpoint
going to be available for Windows RT?
No, I wouldn't think so. I doubt it. Definitely on... it requires, I'm not sure what RT runs, I don't know a lot about RT, but you need .NET 4.5.
Yeah, I don't think it will.
There's a few Microsoft prerequisites that you're required to run it, so I doubt it.
I just think it'd be pretty cool on a Surface.
Yeah, you can run it, I run it on my
Surface.
Surface
Pro, obviously, but not on RT.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Any other questions? Very good, finished right on time. So again, thank you for your time. If you want to come up and have a chat to us, more than happy to take any further questions. Thanks, guys.
Oops.